and end this discussion that has been based around the theme of calling us to wake up. Malachi is a wonderful message that demands attention. This is the last word that God gives through the prophets until Jesus comes. In fact, until John announces the coming of Christ, we hear nothing. There is no word from a prophet. There is no written word. They simply are given what had remained prior to that time. So Malachi wraps up all of what we consider from the Old Covenant or the Old Testament. And now it is a time to wait, a time of preparation, a time of anticipation for what is going to be delivered as Jesus will surely come. As Malachi brings all of this down to some concluding remarks, he does so by helping to remind us of several very important principles. I read a story the other day of a fellow that had anticipated his favorite football game for the weekend. It was one of those in-state rival games like Alabama, Auburn, things like that, that often revolve around the weekend that has just passed. And he was anticipating that a couple of years ago. He was telling the story, and he decided that he would tape it, that all the years prior to that, it had just been so unnerving and upsetting to him when he watched the game that he was afraid that it was just going to make him ill. So he decided to record the game on the DVR and then not watch it until it was all done. He waited until it was over and then glanced quickly at the scoreboard online and discovered that his favorite team had won the game. And then he went back and he watched it. If they had lost, he would have simply deleted it. Now, I don't know about that whole philosophy, and I think there's something cowardly about that, and I just, get in there and suffer with everybody else and live or die by whatever happens in the outcome and along the way. Enjoy the roller coaster ride, but he didn't want the roller coaster ride. He said that watching the game in the knowledge that they had already won gave him a greater sense of relief, confidence, and enjoyment. Now, whether that's true of sporting events or not, or whether that fits your philosophy of such things, one thing can be said. When you know that the outcome is decided, and it has been decided in your favor, how does that change the way you live every moment between now and then? It ought to change it significantly. It should give us a greater degree of confidence. It should give us a greater sense of security. And it should give us a greater imaginative hope and anticipation of what is yet still surely to come. That's what Malachi does for us today. He settles the matter once again. And so we have a prophetic word that speaks to the fact that the day that has been promised is indeed coming soon. Malachi chapter 4. Excuse me just a moment. Verses 1 through 6. Very good, Michael. That was fast. Don't give that guy a gun. He'd be a quick draw. Way to go. Verses 1 through 6 of chapter 4. Actually, it is chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. God gives them a word of promise that carries with it the certainty of judgment. Judgment, in fact, we discover in these first three verses, is most certainly assured. Judgment is sure. I don't know how else to say it other than to say it that way. I remember many, many years ago going to New York City with my family to see the big city. Coming from Mineola, Texas, and driving all the way across country, staying with a friend who lived in New Jersey, and then being taken to New York City and shown all of the sights. I remember spitting off of the Empire State Building. I remember doing all of those things. My mother clinging to the wall of the building while I've got my hands around the bar, seeing if I can spit far enough out so that it clears the building in the wind. I mean, those kinds of things. Lots of interesting people. We didn't have people on the streets of Mineola like they have on the streets of New York. And it was just amazing to see and to watch. A lot of people that I'd never seen before. I'd never seen street people. I'd never seen homeless people before. There were no homeless, to my knowledge, in Mineola, Texas. There probably were. I just didn't know about them. And you certainly didn't see them on the streets downtown. But as we had gone throughout the day, I remember riding the subway numerous times, and on this particular time, as the day was drawing to a close, we got out of the station and we walked up onto the street, and there, two blocks from the United Nations building, was a man standing on the corner on a little wooden box that he had made, and he had on tattered clothes, and he looked like he had not shaved in a long time. He probably didn't smell very good, judging from his appearance, and he was holding a sign that said, "The end is near." And he was shouting at the top of his lungs on the corner of the street, "Judgment is coming, judgment is coming, judgment is coming." I remember being astounded by that because it caused me to have this immediate confusion, because this was a message that I had heard my own father proclaim from the pulpit where he was the pastor. I had heard this message before. I believed this message even as a young boy, and I knew that indeed this was coming. But as I observed this man proclaiming that, there was this seeming disconnect between him and what he was saying, and all of the people that were gathered around, so that no one even responded. They simply walked by him as if he didn't exist. He had become what I now understand to be an invisible prophet. He was invisible to the world around him. Why? Maybe some people thought he was crazy. I'm sure they thought that of Malachi. Maybe some people thought that he was inappropriately dressed because he didn't have on a suit and tie. Or maybe because he was dirty. Maybe some people thought that his message was out of place because it was being proclaimed on the corner of the street rather than being told from the pulpit of a church. Maybe people thought that he was right, and they just didn't want to face up to that reality. Or maybe people thought that he was right, but they didn't want to be identified with him in his enthusiasm and zeal. I don't know. I can't imagine. But I do remember, I couldn't take my eyes off of this man. And I remember my father literally pulling me by the arm as we walked past and made our way to the next big stop. I asked Dad later on about that man, and I said, What's his deal, you know? What is this all about? He said, "Well, son, he's a street preacher." And I said, "Well, how's that different from any other preacher?" He said, "Only that he does it on the street." I said, "Does anybody ever respond?" He said, "It doesn't matter. He's not there for a response. He's there for obedience." Was he crazy? Looking back, he probably was. There was probably something wrong mentally with him. But so what? People say that about me all the time too. And before you laugh it up, they say it about you too. It's not about our clarity in regard to all these other things, but I think there is a message that has been coming down through the ages that we see repeated over and over by the prophets, by all of what has been said in the Word of God. And it reminds us that there is a day coming. There is a time of judgment approaching. Judgment is sure. Why? Because God is righteous and holy, and evil has threatened and challenged that, and God will one day set everything right. And this is how he will do it. Judgment is sure, and he says, behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave neither root nor branch. He is saying to us that those who do not believe in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who do not confess him as Lord and acknowledge him with their lives, that the day is coming that those who stand in opposition to him and those who reject him will be destroyed, along with everything else that is associated with sinfulness. The problem is that those of us who believe ourselves to be on the side of right in this cause oftentimes stand back and we look at that and we think, well, finally, they're going to get what they deserve. And yet I can't help but be reminded that it is from that that we have all been called. I can't help but be reminded that it is in the same manner that we too have been brought from darkness to light. And that the purpose of judgment is not that we would stand back arrogantly declaring ourselves to be safely on the side of right, but oh, that our hearts would be broken for those who have refused to turn to what is true. These people that Malachi was speaking to, he was saying to them, look, I know it's hard right now. I know it seems that evil is in charge and that they're winning. I know it seems like that all of the things that you had imagined would come true and as a result of your commitment of faith are not happening for you. You're living in poverty. You're living in oppression. You're living, some of you, under constant threat of your life. Some of you are living without any of the hope that you had once known because you had built and based that all around the things that you had, and now you don't have those things. And those who've taken them from you are those who seem to have them. They are just ignoring all that you believe to be true, and it's chafing, and it's aggravating, and it's fearful. But he says that makes everything that's happening as God is moving us toward this completion of his purpose about me, and it's not about me. Have you ever thought that the delay of God is causing some disbelief? You know, there's some people who say, well, if God's really in charge and God's really in control, then why didn't he act on some of this stuff? I've thought that at times too. I've thought, you know, why would there be this delay? Why would there be this period of time? And yet every day that passes that Jesus does not come is an extension of the common grace of God. Rather than seeing the delay of God as something that makes life more difficult for you, what if you were to see it as an extension of the common grace that he has given to us all? It is another day that other people have opportunity to respond to his call in grace. Every day that God delays is a day that gives a greater opportunity for you and I to get clarity for the purpose in which we have been called. Every day that God delays the judgment that he will surely bring is a day that we have another chance to share the truth of what has been given through Jesus Christ. Judgment is sure, and he says that when that judgment comes, that it will come on those like a burning oven who have arrogantly pursued evil. And he says they will be as stubble, meaning they will be burned away, and God will set them ablaze, and they will be cut off, and there will be nothing left. But he says, for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. and you will go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you will tread down the evil like ashes as it has been burned away. He says, on the other hand, judgment brings a fearsome reality to those who have rejected the truth, but it brings an eternal and blissful hope for those who believe. Look at how he describes it, like calves from the stall. If you've ever been around livestock, you know that the little ones love to play. And it's just like kids. It's no different from all of us when we are young. There's a certain pent-up energy. And I noticed with young livestock that as they gain their legs, as they gain their stability, they become more active. But it seems like almost without warning, they just take off leaping. If they've been penned up where they can't really get away and run and stretch, then as soon as they get that opportunity, they take off. That's what he's describing. We've all seen that. You know what that's like. And he's describing that for us. We are living as though we are pinned in a stall right now. And we have the limitations of a physical body and a physical reality. We have the limitations of a world of sin and brokenness. We have the limitations of all of these things that seem to compound on top of us. And he says, when that day comes, all of that is gone. And we are released. We will be free. Jesus said it best when he said, whoever believes in me shall be free, and whoever is set free because of me will be free indeed forever. The message of judgment is a message that is fearsome for those who are opposed to the truth. It is blissful for those who embrace the truth. And it gives us hope in between both, so that whether you are the beneficiary or whether you are going to be the object of that judgment, the Bible is clear that God is just and that his grace and mercy, his patience is long, and his delay is not because he is weak or unwilling to act. It is because of his grace and love that as many as possible would come to know the truth before that day arrives. Judgment is sure, but the certainty of that judgment is not an indication or an indictment of God's ability to make sure that all he has promised will come to pass. But it is rather the extension of that common grace that he has given in this world. The question remains for those who believe, what will we do with those moments? Will we bask in the warmth of glow, knowing that one day we will be with him alone? Or will we use the opportunity to take that glowing truth and to share it as frequently and as often as we can? We say in all of the things that we are teaching here that one of the reasons why God has changed us is so that other people will see Jesus in us, so that they will hear us speak of him often, and so that everything that we do will become an extension of who he is and what he has done, that the world may be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a powerful truth that he teaches us. But it is one that is blended uniquely into the message that judgment is sure. On which side of that judgment are you? And as you anticipate the sure and certain coming of Jesus, are you seeing every passing day as another act of the grace and mercy of our God, for which we should be grateful? Even as we long for and pray for the return of Jesus, we also long for and pray for the extension of the gospel. Judgment is sure. Judgment is sure. This much we can know. What should we do in the meantime? He says, walk in faith. To those who were believers, who were feeling downtrodden by the problems of their culture, in the uncertainty of their future, he says to them, walk in faith. In verse 4, he says, remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all of Israel. What shall we do in the meantime? He says, remember the word of the Lord. Walk in faith. Do what God has said. Isn't it a wonderful thing how we learn obedience? how we learn the process of application of truth, how we move beyond. And then we reach a certain point where the simplicity of a simple command and knowing that what should follow is obedience to that, the simplicity gets kind of bogged down in all the complexities of life to the degree that we start to make excuses and yet we cling to what we believe and we act in a completely different way. And so there is this disconnect between behavior and belief. I believe one thing, but my behavior says an entirely different thing. So what does that mean? Does that mean that I really don't believe? Yes, that's what it means. That's exactly what it means. We believe what we do. We do what we believe. It is possible for us to have this mental agreement with truth without having a full contact commitment to the truth. It is possible that our embracing and applying the truth is a progressive experience, so that I'm not suggesting that belief is going to turn you from one person to another overnight. But I do also believe with conviction that doing the Word of God is going to be something that is measurable and accountable, something that is going to be evident in the life of the believer over the course of one's life, over a period of time that will be easily seen. So that when the Bible says, in the meantime, while you await the coming of this day, what should you do? Be obedient to the Word. Be obedient to what I've taught you. At the time that Malachi spoke, there would have been a lot that would have been added to the law of Moses, but he knew and they knew exactly what he was talking about. He was talking about the commandments that had been given, the instructions for daily living, the way that they were to teach and raise up the next generation, the way that they were to extend God's grace in the world. So as the world looked at the people of God, they would see His grace and love and mercy. They would see His truth and they would be drawn to it. So they would become a shining example of all that God wants the world to know. He says the only way that happens is by doing what you have read and what you have learned. It is for this reason that I believe one of the most significant things that we can do in the process of moving toward the reality of that day and when it is coming is that we would live in a manner that is consistent with what we teach and what we believe, so that we would do the Word of God. We need to give ourselves to the instructions of the Bible, whether it is through our personal time of reading, whether it is here in the preaching of the message and the Word of God to you in these larger settings, or whether it's in our smaller groups of discipling or our Sunday morning small groups of Sunday school. All of this is designed to teach us the Bible, but also to encourage it so that it is lived out in the way we conduct ourselves in the world. It is through that Word and it being applied in our lives that we experience the continual transforming work of the Spirit within, so that in the meantime, while we are awaiting the coming of that day, we walk by faith, remembering the Word of the Lord. He says, behold, though, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Walking in faith means looking forward to those things that are still to come. Those things that are going to be the markers, the signs, if you will. Some people like to spend a lot of time on that subject and have the notion and idea that they can see all of these signs in all of these different ways. And maybe they can. Maybe I'm just too dull to see it. I don't know. But there are a lot of things that we look to as signs of the coming of Christ that Jesus said would be with us and have been with us from the beginning. And we still continue to see them today. Wars and rumors of war have been with us always, and there has really never been but very brief periods of history where these realities were not true. We see catastrophe, natural and otherwise, and we see all manner of destructive behavior. We see people turning and cultures turning away from truth so that what has been known forever to be wrong is now being referred to as what is right. And what has been known to be right is being rejected as something that is wrong. That is going to happen more and more. And Jesus assured us that it would. And so we see these kinds of signs. But there are some very specific ones that God pointed to. And Malachi said, I will send Elijah. When John the Baptist came, he came to announce the coming of Jesus, the birth of the Messiah. And he did it with a message that was very simple. Repent, he said. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Can you imagine what he looked like? John was dressed in tattered clothes. He hadn't shaved in a long time. Probably smelled bad. And he stood on a corner of the wilderness and he shouted a message. And it was the same message over and over again. Repent. 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 Isn't it significant that God says, I'm going to send you a sign that the day is approaching, and the sign will be the man that you have known, the prophet Elijah, and the power in which he proclaimed. There will be one who will come in the power and name of Elijah, and he will precede Jesus Christ. He himself said, the one who is coming is so powerful and so wonderful that I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. He says, he is coming. I will send you. You, this man, this will be the sign. And the sign came when John was born, and then John grew up and he proclaimed, repent, the kingdom is near. And Jesus came. This was the coming of the day of the Lord. You say, well, is that what Malachi is talking about? Is he talking about that day when Jesus comes? No. He's talking about the day when Jesus comes, the birth of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the time in the church of Jesus, the body of Christ, and then the return of Jesus. All of that is compressed into one so that there is no distinctiveness about any part of it. It's all part of the same promise of fulfillment of the coming day of the Lord. When we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating the fulfillment of this promise. He's coming. Elijah will announce it. John the Baptist fulfilled that promise so that those who wrote of him in that day said, the man in the very image of the prophet Elijah. You know, when he sounded like him, he must have looked like him. It was amazing. He says to walk in faith by giving yourself to the word of the Lord. As you do, I will send someone who will come. He will be a prophet, and he will announce the great and awesome day of the Lord before it comes. And it says he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. What will be the outcome of the promise of the coming day of the Lord, of the extension of God's grace, of the certainty of the judgment? It will be an outcome that calls his people to walk in faith, in obedience to his word. An outcome that reminds us that Jesus has come. That just as God promised and just as he announced, Jesus has come and he will now lead us. So that our focus is fixed on him. For he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And he is the one leading us to the consummation of all that is to take place. And what will the result be? It will be that those who come to him will find that everything else changes as well. I find it very significant that one of the social results of the presence and power of Jesus is that families are restored. This is another sermon, by the way, and so I won't preach it today because this one's about, I don't know, 98-99% done, so it wouldn't be fair of me to start another one yet. But it says he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Do you realize how important that relationship is? You will when you think about it, as it sets the tone and example for us in the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. One of the things I'm learning as a grandfather is there are a lot of things you don't have to do. You get to do the fun things. Now, my wife tells me that I shouldn't let him just do whatever he wants. Why not? Why shouldn't I? That's what my children's grandparents did most of the time. That's just let him do whatever they want. Because they knew that they'd have to go home with mom and dad, and mom and dad straighten them out. It might take a week or so, but we get them straightened out. It's so much different. It's so much more fun. Parenting was work. Grandparenting's just fun. But you see, have you noticed how you see your grandchildren differently than you did your own children? But then there's something amazing that happens that I've noticed just recently. I'm starting to see my children differently as well. Better, actually. I see them as parents. I see them raising children. I see them in ministry. I see them in life. And in light of that child that I too have a connection with. And it just, I don't know, kind of melts me on the inside. Turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. Describing the way that the impact of Jesus is going to change the lives of believers so much so that it will change our relationship with the Heavenly Father, and that by necessity will change the relationships that we have with each other. Not just between a father and a son, but a father and a daughter. Between our family relationships, our extended family, every relationship and friendship that we have on this earth. All of it is going to change when Jesus comes. And what we are experiencing in the body of Christ is to be the image and reflection of the promise and hope of what is yet to be. So he tells us the day of judgment is sure. For those who reject, it will be destruction. For those who believe, it will be blissful promise and hope. He tells us that the day is coming, that the judgment is sure. And in the meantime, between now and then, we have this opportunity of common grace that God has given, in which the church can operate to declare the message, to make disciples. And as we do, bringing people to Jesus, we are encouraged to see the clarity of the fulfillment of all that God has promised. In the prophet that came to announce the coming of Jesus, we have the historical reminder that what he said has happened. We continue to believe in the anticipation of what he said will finally come to pass is on its way also. And so in the meantime, we immerse ourselves in his truth and we live daily by that standard of truth so that the world will see and so that our lives are changed and so that that transformation extends to all. Is it an uphill battle to try and change the culture with the gospel? Well, certainly it is. But the mark and measure of our success is not the amount of change that occurs in any given culture. The mark and measure of success for the believer is in our obedience to what we know is true. We know the day is coming. It will bring judgment. And in the meantime, we will walk by faith.